You're listening to Amud V'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Brachos. Today's Amud is Lamed Amud Aleph. So I brought this shir upon myself because I said in last night's shir, I pushed off some of today's discussions. I said the Rav would deal with these halacha l'maaseh cases. And then, of course, I'm on for tonight in the end. So let's tackle the sugya in a bakiyistic way of tefillah sederach. So we mentioned a few different tefillos. We mentioned the tefillah of Havinenu, a tefillah katsara, and then we got into the discussion of tefillah sederach, which is essentially asking. Welcome, Gabi. Which is give me a second. Yeah, which is essentially asking God for permission before you take a journey, you make a trip. So we mentioned so far that we quoted the text of this Tefillah Sederach, which is similar, not exactly the same, but clearly it's the base of our modern-day Tefillah Sederach. One major change that the Gemara addresses, Abaye says, that, you know, it's really good, L'shatef inish nafshe b'hadet tzibura, daven in a plural lashon, that would be better. Gavi, you missed that. I brought the shir upon myself because I pushed off everything to the Rav. I said, the Rav is going to deal with this, the Rav will deal with all your questions. And then I ended up having to give the shir. So, getting to give the shir. But okay. So, l'shatef inish nafshe b'hadet tzibura, daven in a lashon rabim, just like we do all the time, right? Rafeinu, barech aleinu. So, tefillah sederach also should be in that way, hechinema, as we said, yirtzom ofenecha Hashem elokeinu, shetolicheinu l'shalom, v'chulei. Okay, good. So that's where we got up to. So Amos Matzli, so when does he say this tefillah? Right, when is he supposed to say this tefillah? At which point? Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Chista, Mishah, Shemahalich B'derech. The moment he leaves, as soon as he leaves his house. So we'll have to, you know, clarify what that means, that as soon as he leaves his house. It really means, you know, famously, I mean, it's brought down the halacha that it's like beyond the city's limits. Meaning, it's still, if he's still in his town, then it's not considered really on the derech so much yet. So it's he really says it once he reaches past the city's limits, past a certain, you know, time period where there's no more houses, like the last house of the city. So that's the point that he would say tefillah sederach. Ad kama. So the Zman al Hispal says Rashi, until when would you say it? So there's going to be a really machlokus how to understand this this question. What would you say? What do you think? Ad kama, until how much? Oh, okay. So you're understanding the question to be, when is the last point that I'm able to say it?
Yeah.
That's how you're understanding the question. Is it until I'm there? If I'm a footstep away, if I'm 10 feet away, if I'm, you know, 10 minutes into the journey, a half hour into the journey, a mile into the journey, how do we quantify that? So Amar of Yaakov, Amar of Chizda, same Amar as before, Ad Parsa, until a Parsa. So you have a parsa. We explained earlier on Daf Tesvav. We spoke about a parsa and a meal. A parsa is for a meal when we're talking about washing the Yosidayim, which I also know offhand because of Zichru again. So Daf Tesvav, we deal with a meal. So parsa is for a meal. I think we said between 2 and 2.5 miles. I think that's how we quantified that. So this is how much a person will say it. So let's take a look at Rashi, because Rashi is going to bring down two pshatim. So ad parsa, aval lo la'acher shahalach parsa. So he says, what does this mean? This means that you can only say it until a parsa into the journey. So once I am 2 to 2.5 miles into where I was supposed to have already said it, meaning outside the city's limits, wherever it is, I have a parsa to say it. Once I pass that point, I don't say it anymore. Right? So that would be taking Avi's approach. Ubahag, Mefarish, but the Bahag, the Halachas Gadol, says, Ad kama yivakesh leilich shehet sarach leispalo. Meaning, how long must a journey be that it necessitates tefillas haderech in the first place? Answer, ad parsa. Only a parsa. Even if it's a small journey, 2.5 miles. Aval derech pachos mi parsa, ein sarach leispalo tefillas zu. You don't say it. So that's the machlokas.
When do you say it? You say it like right before you start the journey, in the middle, or once you pass that mark?
Not the parsa thing is separate. What we said, the Gemara didn't say, but what was brought down in the Halacha, probably the Mishnah Brura, I think it's brought down in the Mishnah Brura, that the Tefillas HaDerech will be said after you get past the city limits. That's the first time you can say it. And according to the first opinion in Rashi and in Avi's version of the Gemara, the deadline to say it would be one parsa after that point where you were allowed to start saying it. Okay. Back to the Gemara. V'hechi matzila, and how are you supposed to say it? Meaning, what's your positioning supposed to be? Rav Chisda amar uma, Rav Sheshes amar afilim ahalich. Rav Chisda says you should be standing when you say this tefillah. Rav Sheshes says no, even if you're going on the journey, which if that means sitting on an animal, sitting on a boat, whatever it is, sitting in a car, either is fine.
Boat?
What?
How do you get off a boat?
You could stand on the boat, maybe. Maybe you don't want to. Try here. It's like a little raft or a little rowboat. I don't know if you want to stand on that. So Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes Havu Ka'azli, those two Amorayim happen to have been traveling together, Ba'orcha, they're Ka'azli on the road. Come Rav Chisda, Vikamatzli. Rav Chisda got up and he started davening. Amorli Rav Sheshes L'shameir. So Rav Sheshes said to his attendant, my Ka'avid Rav Chisda, what's Rav Chisda doing? So Rashi just lets us in on this. We might have mentioned it earlier. Actually, I believe we did. We did mention it earlier. That Rav Sheshes was a Ma'or Einayim Hava. He was someone with enlightened eyes, which is a Lashon Sagi Nahor, a euphemism for blind. Right? We mentioned it with regarding how he would like turn away by Kriyas HaTorah. Right? If we're talking about talking during Kriyas HaTorah, and he would learn during Kriyas HaTorah. And so part of what we said was that he was blind. Okay, so anyway, so Rav Sheshes just wanted to know, what's Rav Chisda doing? So my covered Rav Chisda, Amar Lei, so his attendant said to him, Ka Yumatzli, he got off his animal or wagon or whatever, and he stood up and he's davening. Amar, and right, so Lishitaso, right, Rav Chisda holds, you have to say it Mu'umad. And Rav Sheshes holds, you say it Miyushav. Or sorry, Mahalech, while you're on the journey. Amar Lei, he said to him, Ukma Nami Lididi. Help me, please, stand up, ve'etzli, and I'll be by him, and I'll daven as well. Miyos tov, al tikra ra. If you could be good, then don't be called bad. Meaning, he says, really, so according to me, I think it's fine. According to him, though, he's standing. He stopped us anyway. I'm waiting for my charusa. I'm waiting for the chevra to go. So I might as well get off my animal and stop. And we actually learned the halacha from this that really you can say it while going, but it's preferable to say it while standing. But
it's more of a prep. It's not like this is what you have to do with this.
That even Rav Sheshes would admit it's. Rav Sheshes would say it's preferable, but if it's going to disturb your kavana, right, especially because you know, if you have to pull over to a rest stop, just say tefillas haderech, so people might get very anxious and antsy, like, oh, we have to go. So if there's that kind of feeling, or you're just nervous about, you know, like you're in a community, you're nervous to pull over, whatever it is, if it's going to mess up your kavana, then or the detour is going to, you know, trouble you, then you can say it while you're going. But if there's no difference between, for you, not much of a difference at all, standing or sitting, then better to stand. It's preferable to stand. Okay, my ika bein havinenu l'tefila katsara. What's the difference between havinenu and tefila katsara? So we mentioned both, right? So what's the difference between them? Meaning there are certain qualities we're going to learn. Obviously they're different. We saw in the previous staff. There's a specific text for havinenu. We saw in chav tesamet aleph and chav tesamet beis. We had different texts of a tefila katsara, so they're different. But there are certain qualities that they have it different as well. Havinenu boy litzluya gimel kamaisa v'gimel basraisa. Havaneinu requires, before you say the text of the Havaneinu, it requires the first three brachas Shemar Esrei and the last three. The Chimati, the base saying, when you get home, after you've said Havaneinu, lo bai l'mahadar l'tzluyeh, you don't have to say davening again. It counts as your Shemar Esrei. But Tfilah Ketzara, lo bai l'tzluyeh, lo gimel gemaisa, lo gimel basraisa. Right, both of them end Shemaya Tefillah. Both of them is a prayer, that paragraph that ends with Shemaya Tefillah. But Tefillah Ketzara, you don't have to say the first three brachas and last three brachas of Shemona Esrei. However, v'chimati lebei say bay lemahadre litzluyeh. But when you get home, you have to say Shemona Esrei. It doesn't count as your Shemona Esrei. V'hil chosan halacha is havinenu me'umad Tefillah Ketzara bein me'umad bein mahalech. Havinenu should be said standing, like what?
That's right.
And Tefillah Ketzara is bein mu'umad bein mahalech, whether you're standing or you're going on the road. So basically, what we see from this is Havaneinu essentially counts as your Shemona Esrei. Tefillah Ketzara is something that you say because you might not get the daven or because you're nervous in general about this dangerous location, but it doesn't count as your Shemona Esrei. So we have.
Why are you saying something that doesn't count?
Well, it counts as a tefillah. Right? It's Hashem, please help me. I'm in a dangerous place. I'm nervous. I'm in a makom sakana. Hashem, please help me. But it doesn't count as your Shemona Esrei. And it could be that on some bidyevid level, it might count in hindsight, meaning not enough to potter you, even bidyevid from Shemona Esrei. But let's say I said nothing in the afternoon, because I missed this man. So yeah, I'll still have to repeat, but it could be I get some schar of tefillah, bizmana in some regard, even if I would get home before it was over, I would still have to repeat Shemona Esrei. Meaning, like, let's say I missed Zman Mincha, I would still have to say two Shemona Esreis in Meir, I would still have to do Teshlumin, but it could be that there's something I did actually get, even in the realm of Shemona Esrei and Tefillah Bezmana, through Tefillah Ketzara, but at the very least, Tefillah Ketzara is a Tefillah Hashem, please help me, I'm in a Makom Sakana. Okay, so yeah, again, so we have, right, we have the Shemona Esrei, the full 18 brachos, that you should say in general, Havaneinu and certain tough situations, you can get away with the Havaneinu, and that will count as your Shemona Esrei, but it has to be with the first three brachos and the last three brachos, it has to be standing. And then there's Tefillah Ketzara, which you say in a Makom Sakana, and Tefillah Sederach, which you say before you go out on a trip. Okay, Hayarochev Alachamor V'chule, so we learned this in the Mishnah. If somebody was riding on a donkey and he couldn't get down, right, so ideally he should get down. And if he can't get down, then he should like turn himself towards Yerushalayim, right? Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we'll see a related brisa. Tana Rabbanan, Hayarochev Alachamor V'higiyas Man Tvila. Someone's riding on a donkey and this is Man Tvila. Im Yeshlo Mishayachas Eschamor O Yared Lamata V'yispalo. If you have somebody with you who can hold your donkey for you, and therefore you're not going to be nervous that it's going to run away. And so then you should do that, and then you could daven. Vim lav, but if you don't have anybody to hold it down, you're going to be very nervous and you're not going to be able to concentrate on your tefillah. So rather, yeshev b'mkoma, sit in your place, v'yispalo and daven there. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe argues on the Tanakhama, bein kach, whether you have somebody to help you there or not, yeshev b'mkoma v'yispalo, you should sit and daven. Lefisha ain't datan yeshev esalav, because he's not going to be able to have proper kavana. Right, Rashi says, Shekosha lov akov haderech. It's hard for him to hold back the journey. We're going back the road. I don't know, it's 5 minutes. I have to finish quickly. I have to get there on time. It's not going to be a good tefillah. Better just to say it as you're going. Amarav, avisim, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, halacha karebi. Halacha is like Rebbe, that even the chachila, you don't need to get down from the donkey. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Brisa Suma, Umi Shena Yachal Chavines Aruchos, somebody who's blind or somebody who's not able to navigate the directions. He doesn't have a compass. Yichavein libo keneged aviv shevashemayim. You should focus his heart towards his father in heaven. Shneamar, as the pasuk says in Malachim, v'spalu el Hashem. You should daven to Hashem. So therefore, right? I don't know which way to daven. What should I daven to? Daven to Hashem. Have in mind, I'm facing Hashem. Haya omeid bechutz la'aretz. If you're standing in chutz la'aretz, yichavein es libo keneged Eretz Yisrael. So you should face Eretz Yisrael. How do we know? So it also says in Malachim, might be even the same pasuk. I don't think it's the same pasuk. Shneamar v'espalu elecha derech artzam. Right, and they will daven to you the way of their land, Eretz Yisrael. So if you're in Chutz La'aretz, you daven towards Eretz Yisrael. Haya omid be'Eretz Yisrael. If you're standing in Eretz Yisrael, yichavein es libo keneged Yerushalayim. Shneamar, it says in the same parak, v'espalu el Hashem derech ha'ir. the way Asher Bacharta, the way of the city that you chose, right? So it's facing Yerushalayim. Haya Omid Yerushalayim. See, what if the person is standing in Yerushalayim? Yechav in Eslevo, connected based on Mikdash. Right? So now you face towards the base of Mikdash. Now, Mar, as it says, Dirayam, Vispalu El Habayis Hazem. And they will dive into this house, to the base of Mikdash. So in that direction. Okay, you think we can't go further? You just watch. Haya Omid Base of Mikdash. If you're standing in the base of Mikdash, Yechav in Eslevo, connected based Kacha HaKadashim. He should focus his heart towards the house of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? Meaning the Heichal, and okay. Oh, actually, the inner part of the Heichal, with the Aram. Shinemar v'spalu el ha-makom hazeh. It says in Malachim, back to the previous psukim that we quoted. So you face this place, that's where you should daven towards. Hayo omid b'beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, you can even go further than that. If he was standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Yechavein Eslevo Keneged Beis HaKaporas. So he should face himself towards the Kaporas. Right? So meaning that's the cover of the Aron. Haya, right, so are you wondering...
Parochas, I was like, what? Okay,
let me... Yeah, so yeah, the Parochas is the curtain, Kaporas is an anagram. There are three things in the Mishkan that are anagrams of each other. It's all the same word, right? all the same anagram. It's Kapores, Paroches, and the Kaftor of the menorah. The knobs of, I don't know why. Paroches and Kapores, I hear the connection. They're both different types of coverings for the Aron. Kaftor is in that list too. Okay, sorry again. He's standing there. Kenege Besa Kapores. Haya Omen Achori Besa Kapores. So if he's standing behind the Aron, like at the other side, right? And now, who's going to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So it could be the Kohen Gadol, or it could be people who are doing construction, fixing things up over there. So anyway, you have somebody standing on the other side of it, right? So Rashi just gives us, look, he says, B'marav ha'azara, hayu yud alef ama, chatzim yikosa beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. There are like 11 amos there, l'kosa maravi from the western world, sha'azara. So someone who's standing in that position, va'omid sham machzir panav levesa kaporas lemizrach. So that's what he says, right? Ha'omid achari besa kaporas. Back to the Gemara. Yira atzmo ki'ilu lefnei kaporas. He should see himself as if he is before the kaporas, meaning turn facing them. But he should imagine that he's facing the kaporas. Meaning he's a little bit like of an awkward, you know, spot. He's like kind of behind the scenes. So he stands facing, I guess, everybody else facing. Where everybody else would be facing towards him, but he should envision himself as if he's in front of the Kaporos, not behind the Aron, not behind it. Right?
He's facing away from the Aron or towards the Aron?
He's facing towards the Aron.
But he should imagine he's not.
He should be, I think it seems to be, Yira Atzmo Kilu Lifnei Kaporos. He should envision himself as if he's on the other side of the Aron, still facing the Aron. Sorry? Wait, say it again?
Wait, so he can't pretty much, he should imagine himself where he's on the other side of the Parashas.
Yeah, he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and meaning he just went behind the Paroches, the curtain, and now he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he's looking in front of him, and he sees the Aron, that's where he should face. However, if he was on the other side of the Aron, of the back wall of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so he should turn around and face the Aron, but he should envision himself as if he's facing the front of the Aron that everybody else is facing. Yeah. Sorry if I wasn't clear.
I was very clear.
Okay, and what comes out of this? So Nimtza comes out that Omid b'Mizrach machzir panav l'marav, somebody who's standing in the east, so he turns towards the west, b'marav machzir panav l'Mizrach, b'Darom, someone who's in the south, machzir panav l'Tzafon, someone who turns his face towards north, b'Tzafon machzir panav l'Darom. Nimtzu, it comes out, Kol Yisrael mechavnenes libam l'makom echad. Beautifully, all the Jewish people are facing in the same direction, right? There's like one epicenter that everybody is facing. What's the pasuk that's a source of such a concept? It's a pasuk in Shirashim. Kimigdal David tzavarecha banoi l'talpios. So like the Migdal David, the Tower of David, is your neck built as a landmark. So Tal Pios can also be read tail, like a hill, Shekol Pios, that of mouths, hill of mouths. It's a hill, Shekol Pios Ponimbo, that all mouths are facing. So this pasuk in Shir Shirim references everybody facing the Aron, essentially, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Now, story. Avu adishmo v'levi ki havu ba'ile mefak le'orcha havu mak. So, the father of Shmuel and Levi, when they went out to on the road, havu makdame, they would get up early, umatzli, and daven, very early. Rashi says how early. It's actually unclear how to understand this Rashi. Machlokas Tosos and other Rishonim how to understand the Rashi. But Rashi, we'll understand Rashi. Can't find the Rashi. Did they take out the Rashi? Oh, they left it in Baruch Hashem. Hava mekadmei kodem hayom. So before the day starts. So what does that mean? So it probably it means that like right at the beginning of Alos, but before, definitely well before Nates and before it's appropriate to in general to daven. But they would daven extra early, right? Makdamei matzli v'chi hava mati zman kriyashma. And when it was time for zman kriyashma, it's really just Nates or just before Nates. Karu, they would read Kriyashma. So meaning that they would daven Shmona Esrei, very early, possibly before dawn, but most likely after dawn, just after dawn, and then they would go out on the road, and then they would keep an eye on their watches, most likely on the sun, and see when it was Zman Kriyashma, and then they would read Kriyashma after their davening. So kiman, in accordance with whom, is that practice? Kihai tana, it's like one of the tanaim of the following braisa. The tanya, hashkim letzeis laderech, mevi'en lo shofar. So someone who has to wake up early to go out on the road, mevi'en lo shofar v'tokeya. If it's Rosh Hashanah, he brings out a shofar and blows it. Right? You might be wondering, what's he doing traveling on Rosh Hashanah? Okay, he's traveling a smaller distance, maybe. Lulav, if it's Sukkot, so he takes a lulav, umenanea, and he shakes it. Megillah, if it's Purim, Megillah, v'koreba, he reads the Megillah, meaning very, very early in the morning, well before Nates. Ukishayagi is Zman Kriyashma, and when it's Zman Kriyashma, kore, he should read Kriyashma. Hashkim, leshev, so Hashkim Leshev Bekarona Busvina. If he's getting up early, not to go on the road like walking, but to sit in a wagon, Obasvina, or in a boat, so what should he do in that situation? Mispal, he should daven, Ukshigia Zman Kriyashma, and when he reaches Zman Kriyashma, Kore. Again, he should read. So he first davens, and then he says Kriyashma later on at the right time. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar argues. He says, "Omer benkach ubenkach." Either case, whether it's a boat and a wagon or going on the derech, doesn't matter. Kore kriyishma umispalel kadesh yishiyismoch gula l'tfila. First say shema, then say shema esrei. You don't split them up. You don't say shema esrei and then later say shema when it's the zman. You don't do that. Why? Because you want to be mismach gula l'tfila to juxtapose the redemption and the davening, meaning the bracha of Birchat Kriyashma of Gal Yisrael and Shmona Esrei. B'ma'akev mifugli. So what are these two tanaim arguing about? So obviously the Tanakama is the approach that Shmuel's father and Levi took, where they did Shmona Esrei first. So b'ma'akev mifugli. So what are these two tanaim arguing about? So mar samar tefila ma'umad adif. So one opinion says tefillah mu'umad is more important. It's more important to say Shmona Esrei standing. Umar samar mismach gula tefillah adif. And the other says that it's better to say better have gula tefillah. So, right. So that's what he says. Right. Rishon Lezer says I don't care what's gonna happen later on. You say Shema and Shmona Esrei back. Even if your Shmona Esrei has to be sitting, better to say it after Shema. Right, so you can mismach gula l'tfila rather than to separate them. The other says, no, better to say Shmona Esrei. Better to say Shmona Esrei first, so that you can say that while standing. Tfila adif. Rashi says this is interesting. Why do we say Shmona Esrei standing? So Rashi says tfila ma'umad adif sheyachol chavin eslibo, because he's able to focus his heart. Lefika hayu makdimin leispala ma'umad beitam shalei yistrichu l'spal b'derech mabahalech. So therefore, in order for his for better kavana in Shemoneh Esrei by standing, we allow him to do that. Okay. And another story that's going to be a little bit surprising. We're going to read this. It's certain things that were done in the Gemara in their times. It's just tefillah is so different now. So on the Shabbos of the Regel, right, the Shabbos before the Regel, Rashi says shelafnei Pesach v'tzeres v'sukkis. So Maremar and Marzutra, Rashi explains, he elaborates more on this, that they were both the rav of their community, and they would give a big drasha on the Shabbos before these. Maremar be'iro, Marzutra be'iro, hayud har darshanim. So what would they do? So they would have a massive drasha to give that would start very, very early in the morning, like really early in the morning. Havu mekanfei be'asara. So before that, very early, well before Nates, they would gather 10 people. And then they would daven. They would say Shemoneh Esrei. Vahadar nafka laperka. And then afterwards they would go to give the shir. So very early, this is very, very early. So they would give a really, really long shir that probably would go past Zman Kriyashma. And so they davened extra early, well before Nates. But they made this effort to be mismach agul tefillah. Okay, Rav Ashi matzli b'hadit tzibura b'yachid meyushav, and Rav Ashi would daven together with the tzibura b'yachid while he was sitting. And kihava asi labeisi, but when he would get home, hadaru matzli ma'uma, he would daven Shemoneh Esrei again, this time standing. So take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi explains what Rav Ashi was doing. Rav Ashi haya rosh yeshiva b'masa b'machasya. Rashi was rosh yeshiva there. V'doresh. And he would give a drasha. V'hu lo haya mispalel kodem beis hamidrash. He wouldn't daven before shul. Ella, listen to this move. It's great. Ella kishemagia zman kriyashma. When it was time for zman kriyashma, lochesh harbe yachad l'metorgamon. He would say a lot to the metorgamon. So the metorgamon would translate like from Hebrew to Aramaic, or just say it a lot louder. So he gave an extra long piece for the metorgamon to say. Like extra long. You know, sometimes you have a translator and they translate like sentence by sentence. So this time he would give him like a whole long drush and he says, no, say exactly what I said. And the Meturgamon would have to repeat it. And what would he do? So he would give Lochosh Harbe Yachad the Meturgamon Ha'omed Lefanav. Uba Oj Meturgamon Mashmiah LeRabim. When the Meturgamon was making everything heard to the Rabim, Hu Korei Shema. He would sit there and say Shema while the Meturgamon was talking. And then he would be mismach gulul tefila and davin in this break while the Meturgamon was talking. Miyushav al sitting. He didn't want to get up and have a break because he didn't want everyone to stand up for him and like a whole tircha and interrupt. So that's what he did. But when he would get home, right? So he would dive in again. Rashi continues. Behadit tzibura b'shasha tzibur nishmate in mespalalin inami behadit tzibura kemoshu yoshe besochat tzibur kolomar she'ino yotze v'chi hava asa the basin when you get home close mespalam umad l'chavin islibo, because he didn't have such good kavana when he was davening the first time because he's sitting down and he didn't have so much kavana and he didn't want to stand up and everyone to stand up for him, so he sat down but he didn't have so much kavana because of that. So when you get home, that's what he would do. Interesting. Part of the Rashi, the previous two Rashis ago, I left out is what would happen with Marzutra and Maremar is that when would everybody else daven? Right, they woke up early, gathered a small minion, right, obscenely early, and daven, and then they would give the shir. They would give the shir in the respective towns. When would everybody else daven? So Rashi says up there in Bishabsa Derigla at the end, so that everybody. So does Rashi say this? Yeah. So umespalan ish levado nishmatin umespalan ish levado v'lekach hayimosav, and right, people would like sneak out of the drasha in the middle and they were daven. Can you imagine such a thing nowadays? Where what's on the schedule is like the schedule is nowhere on the schedule does it say that there's davening. The whole schedule is just really, really, really long shir. The Rav would gather a minyan before davening at a really early time that's not appropriate in general appropriate to daven. They would daven at that point, give the shir really, really early in the morning, and nowhere on the schedule was it shachar, so you kind of had to like get a bathroom break, sneak out, and daven. It's like something that we're so unfamiliar with, but in our times where we've solidified certain practices in davening and said, this is what we do and this is the system and this is the order of things. So now we don't break away from that. But from there, there was a lot more flexibility because things weren't defined because they didn't have the Gemara yet. Okay. So let's just finish up to the Mishnah. So Rashi matzli b'hadi tzibura b'yachin yushav ki hava asa the beisei hadar matzli mu but he would daven so standing. Amri the Rabbanan said to him, v'la aved mar kemerameh mar. And Umar said, "Just why don't you do what they did, right? Gather them in early." Amar lahu, he said, "Trichali milsa, it's a tircha for me to do that." Rashi explains, "La'achar beisa midrash ad sheis palel to delay going to beisa midrash after I daven. I want to start as early as possible giving the shir." Ula avid mar kavua de Shmuel veLevi. So why don't you daven really early, like Shmuel's father and like Levi did daven. Daven very early, do the Shemona Esrei, and then do Shema in the proper Zman. Amar Lahu, he said to them, Lo chazina Lahu l'Rabbanan kishi shai minan davdi hachi. I didn't see the Rabbanan who are kashisha minan, who are older than me. I haven't seen people from the previous generation do such a thing. Therefore, I don't think it's appropriate to do that. And we'll hold it at the Mishnah, which discusses, very interestingly, something that you might think actually will apply nowadays, discussion about whether you have a chiv to daven musaf if there is a minyan in town davening musaf. Now, before we read this Mishnah, we think, what kind of town doesn't have a kahila davening musaf? But our town, this past Shabbos, as far as we know, on the books, did not have a kahila davening musaf. So this fascinating Mishnah might actually become halacha lemaisa, but this one really I will, b'li ayin hara, leave over for the Rav to do.